today, the courage to love other people openly. The courage to love other people openly. Jesus had it. He had courage to love other folks in public and care for them. Now, come on, Mitch, would you get to it? Come on right here. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's crazy. Here, pick your guitar. You need a stool? Why you need a stool? Got your stool. Now you have it. There we go. Come on, I ain't got all day. It's the courage to love people openly. Have you ever had a weird phone call? I mean, just sort of strange. We got some background music from a story. Well, I had one of those calls last night. And it was a person, and if you're here, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make fun of you. But you didn't. Here we go. I had a call last night, and it was a neighbor. Actually, she owns a condo next door to me. A house condo thing. And she's got this house rented to some tenants. And the family struggled with a hurricane, and, you know, but they've been living there, and now their house is ready, and they're fixing to go back over to their home. But since they've been living there, this little boy, about 11 years old, has fallen in love with my dog. Emphasis on whose dog? My dog. So now they're moving. Oh. So the lady calls me last night and says, "The little boy, he's fell in love with your dog. Do you think he could have your dog?" This is what came out of my mouth. No! He could not know. I said, "That dog came from my hometown in North Carolina. I picked up that dog at a shelter. He was going to be annihilated. That dog was going to be killed. My old dog just died and went to heaven. Okay? This dog I got is 4 years old. My old dog taught this dog for 4 years how to be a good dog." "I'm sorry. Would you pray about it?" "No." "I don't pray about it, okay? Here's what I will do. I'll look in the paper and try to see if we can find a dog sort of like my dog. And then maybe you can buy that dog for that boy." You know? So anyway, thank you for the background music. I was telling him last night when he came home, I was up in the bedroom, and I was telling him that story. This person called me on the phone, and well, he just happened to be picking his guitar while I'm telling the story. And I said, "Can you do that tomorrow at church?" I tell the story. Now, we're going to get serious. But here's the point. Loving other people openly doesn't mean you have to give up your dog. Okay? If you want to give up your dog, go ahead. But I don't think that's necessarily what it's all about. Okay? So, let's look at the message today, and I really hope you'll listen today. I think this message can help you in your life. It has with me. I tell you what, it's kept me a little awake this week, talking about loving other people and thinking about people. It really did. I woke up several times, and that's not always a pleasant thing. You think, have I loved enough? Have I done enough? Could I do more? And so, you know, it'll throw you into a little spin if you'll listen today about loving other people. Jesus had the courage to love other people open. And we're going to get right down to the message, right? Let's roll. First of all, we see in John chapter 6,
but just an unbelievable verse. And I want to lay a little groundwork before we get to where we're going to get the message. Okay? Jesus had talked in John chapter 6. He said, "I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you'll never what again? You'll never hunger again. I'm the bread that came down from heaven." He also said in John chapter 4, talking to the woman at Samaria, "I am the water of life. If you drink of me, you'll never what? Thirst again." Well, he had a big crowd following him, his intimate group of disciples. But also there were other disciples now that were following Jesus Christ. And he gave the scripture, and he was talking to them. He said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." That's a pretty tough scripture today. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, "Unless you eat of me and drink my blood, you have no part in me, you have no life in you"? Pretty tough scripture, right? It offended some. In this scripture, interesting scripture, isn't it? John 6, 6, 6. It's one of the only times in the Bible where chapter 6 has 66 verses. None of that means anything. But it's maybe good to just log in your noggin. It'll help you just remember something. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they were offended. They were offended. Okay? We know about the number 666, that's a number of man. We see it in the book of Revelation. That's the mark of the beast, that those that are here that do not put their trust in the Lord, they're going to be marked with that number, the number of man, 666. And I just think it's interesting. The number of man right now, friend, is John 666. And that is, unless you take His body and you take His blood for your salvation, you have no life in you. And you're just a man. You just mark life during the tribulation period, the number of men. So they were offended. So many of His disciples, they went back and walked no more with Him. Let's keep moving. But Jesus loved others. He did. There's no question about it. That's what we're going to talk about today. However, He did not continually go after those who had the truth, yet were offended. I know in my own life, when I speak, I know I offend people sometimes. The truth cuts. The Word of God is like a sharp two-edged what? Sword. It ain't a Q-tip, okay? It's got no soft, cut me. It cuts! I know it cuts. And sometimes when you do it the way I do it, Southern style, it really cuts. You know, I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't continually go after those who had the truth and yet were offended. He just didn't do it. You check it out in Scripture, and I'll be happy to have a talk with you. Now, He confronted phonies. I mean, you'll see a lot of that. But people, when He told them the truth, they just turned and walked. What did He tell His disciples? When that happens, what do you do with the dust on your shoes? Say, dust it off. Do you quit or keep going? Keep going. Go on. But let me show you something. Certainly Jesus had a heart, but this was what He was all about. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But Jesus also cared for folks that had a broken spirit. Somehow, have you done something before and you just knew it was wrong and it devastated your relationship with you and God? Sure we have. That's why if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And certainly we do have that time when we're ashamed. And Jesus reached out to Peter in that situation, remember? He had denied Him 3 times in Jesus' very darkest hour. And Peter was utterly ashamed of himself. But Peter, Jesus reached out to him. In John chapter 21, I'm not going to go through the whole passage, but Jesus comes back to Peter, and He basically, Peter had said, "I want to go fishing. I'm going to fish my fish. I'm tired of fishing for me, and I quit." And some of the other disciples quit with Him. And there they were. But Jesus had resurrected. He appeared to them on the shore, and He said 3 words. Can you remember what He said to the guys once they caught the fish? He said 3 words when they got to shore. He said, "Come and dine."
Come and dine.
And then he said this to Peter, do you love me?
Said to him three times, I believe.
And then he told him, then feed my sheep and follow me. Did Peter get right and get back on track and follow the Lord? Yes or no? Sure did. Turned the world upside down, didn't he? Acts beautiful. The point is this, is Jesus gave the truth, and many times people were offended. He didn't seem to spend a lot of time just keeping on, well, if you got the truth, you've been offended. Well, but he did certainly go after those that had a broken spirit. But I think without question, it's undeniable that Jesus went after lost people. Can you say that with me? Jesus went after lost people. That's what he did. There seems to be a difference between constantly reaching out to those with an offended spirit and reaching out to those with a broken spirit. There's a difference there. Keep moving. But Jesus reached out to those who were lost. Go ahead. And this is what he was about. That is why he came. That's what Jesus was all about, and that is why he came, to reach out to the lost. So having laid that little bit of groundwork to end the confusion, perhaps, hope it had increased it, that loving others is not continually going at the well with somebody who's offended, they're not accepting the truth. Quit wasting your time! There's a world that's lost that needs Christ! And we spend all our time saying, well, since so-and-so, she's all being out of shape. Well, fine. Grow up. That's what my mama would have said. But that's different church. No, it ain't either. Come on. Listen, there's a lost world out there. Neighbors, friends, people in our community that need, they're starving, friend. We need to give them the bread of life. That's what it's about. Now let's look at it. Let's see what Jesus did. He had the courage to love others. It is a lot more comfortable for me just to hang out with the holy huddle. Remember about a year ago I did a message called about the holy huddle? And what do you see in a huddle? Somebody tell me. You only see what? Rear ends. We're not here to have a holy huddle, friend. That's not what we're about. Hey, it's great to be together and have a good time. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. We can fellowship, have a wonderful time. But our mission is to love other people. And to love them openly. And that's what Jesus did. Let's learn today from the Master. Luke 7:34, great verse in the Scriptures that you should underline, you should mark. The Son of Man, that's Jesus. This is what he said. Jesus told the people this. He said, you know what they're saying about me, guys? You know what they're saying about me? They're saying the Son of Man is come eating and drinking. Behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. This was what Jesus was labeled with. And how did he get that label? Why don't you let's just look at that a little bit. We're going to look at what these words mean. First of all, a glutton. They said he was a glutton. That means excess in eating. Number two, they said that he was a wine bibber. That means given to wine. You can slice it and dice it any way you want to. That's what it means. Number three, they said he was a publican. That's not a Republican, all right? There we go. Said he was a publican. That's tax collectors. Another word for that is crooks. They'd steal from their own mama. Here we go. The next one, they said he was a sinner. That means people of vice and crime. These are low-life losers. So Jesus had this label on him that he loved this kind of people. So let's look at it. They say, I eat and drink with crooks and low-life losers. Can you say that with me? They say, I eat and drink with crooks and low-life losers. Listen, that was the label they put on him, and it stuck. He didn't deny this. He didn't deny this label. Matter of fact, he come by it honest. He loved people openly because he loved them out in the open, and people could see him loving the people in the open. They labeled him. And you can do that to people when you see people in the open doing things. Yeah, make me label that. The lady called me last night. I labeled her. Put a reason?
Not really. Lady had a big heart, didn't she? Big heart, willing to even ask something that was crazy. Right? Let's look at this. Let's look more carefully. It takes courage to wear a label like that. It takes courage to wear a label like that. You eat and drink with crooks and low-life losers. It takes some courage to. It's not, hey, this isn't for sissies, friend. This isn't for sissies right here. It's some tough stuff. Well, I love people. All right. Get ready. It's tough. I'm telling you, it's tough. And a lot of times the people that will knock you down is the Christian brothers and sisters. You're loving on people. What are you doing hanging out here, people? Take care of people. Listen, because Jesus did it? How about that answer? Amen? Let's look at it. How did he get that label? Because he loved others openly and he loved them publicly. And now we're going to go to some things today. We're going to look at a few that he loved openly. And I don't have a lot of time, but I would like to share a few stories with you. And just that. So let's look at it from the Scriptures. First of all, Nicodemus. Now, this doesn't necessarily fit the bill, Nicodemus to crooks and low-life losers, but it depends on who you're talking to. Because he was a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews. Let's read the Scriptures. John 3:1-3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And a lot of people thought the rulers of the Jews were real crooks, and they were right. Many of them were. Well, this happened to be a good man. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you see that word in the corner? Can you read it? Say it.
Risky.
Risky. Risky. Nicodemus came to Jesus what time? This was risky business, friend. The Pharisees hated Jesus. If they had known Nicodemus was doing what he did, Nicodemus would have been toast. It was risky business for Jesus to do it because he knew how they despised him and how they hated him. And friend, when you love people openly, it is risky. It's risky business. Have your heart stoned on? You're trying to do the right thing somewhere. Well, many Christian brother or sister says you shouldn't do it. I mean, it's tough. You can have your heart broken. I'm seeing some nods like some of you had your heart broken by doing this. Here's what I think of Nicodemus. Aren't you glad Jesus reached out to him? Because this is where we got this verse. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad Jesus had that talk with Nicodemus? Wow. But here's the thing I think of Nicodemus. When I think of Nicodemus, I think of the dignified. The dignified. We're talking about loving people openly. It's difficult to love the dignified. I think it is. It's difficult to love people with means and money and position. It's difficult. I'm not saying that you can't love them. It's just that we're intimidated with it, aren't we? I know I am. Maybe it's my upbringing. I don't know. But do those dignified people need Jesus? Yes or no? Yes. And if you don't reach out to them, who is? Right? It's going to be risky, though. Might be your boss. Oh, I need to share the gospel with my boss somehow, some way. But what if I lose my job? I don't know. Pray about it. But does the boss man need Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, somebody else can tell. Well, if the Lord laid it on your heart, maybe you is that somebody. Amen? Good English, you understand? So the dignified, let's go real quick to another one. And that is this one, Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? Let's look at the story right quick. Luke 19:1-10, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named who? Zacchaeus. He was the chief among the publicans, and he was
rich.
Now what's a publican? A publican is a tax collector, which is basically a crook. Not all tax collectors are crooks, obviously, but during this time, they were serious crooks. Like I said, they steal from their own money. Here it is. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press. So there's a giant crowd, and this is in Jericho, and there's a giant crowd, but he couldn't see Jesus. He wanted to because of the press of people, because he was a little stature, short guy. And he ran
a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, say it with me, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. We used to sing a little song, didn't we? Remember that? Zacchaeus, you come down, I'm going to your house today. Yeah. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, look at it. When they saw it, they all what? Saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. Boy, Jesus made a difference in his life, didn't he? Wow. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to your house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the son of man, there he is at verse again, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What I'm saying is, did that take courage? Did Jesus see him later after it was all over and go, hey, dude, I'm about to go to your house? He said, hey, you in the tree? I'm going to your house today. It takes courage, friend, to love other people openly. Jesus did it. I think of this, though, when I think of Zacchaeus. He was a dirty dog. You know people like that? Crooked as the day is long. Crooked, crooked, crooked. Steal. Mean. But dishonest. And you see that word that's in the background? It almost seems wrong to share the gospel. Because they're so bad. You understand that? So, you know, they're too bad. Is anybody too bad for Jesus' sake?
No,
man, isn't that great? But something inside of us, it does take courage to talk to a dirty old rotten thief. It does. It takes courage because something inside of us is going, it's wrong. I mean, he's wrong, man. I can't talk to him. He's bad. I mean, he's a bad person. It takes courage to go through that. And I'm going to share Jesus with him anyway. Because you know that's why he is wrong. And even on his best day when he gets it all figured out, he's still going to go to hell if I don't show Christ to him. And I got to love him. So, the next one is the sinner woman in Luke 7. So we've seen Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, and now the sinner woman. Luke 7, 34. Here's our verse. Isn't it interesting? The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. This story, a Pharisee had heard that Jesus liked to eat. Look at it. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Why don't you come eat with me? I understand you like to eat and drink. And so he invited him to his house, and when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, look at it, a woman in the city which was a sinner. That word sinner right there, the word, the meaning, has the idea of a prostitute. A woman of the streets. A woman in the what? City. Which was a what? Sinner. When she knew Jesus was set at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood in his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Look what happened. Keep going. Oh, I'm sorry. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, say it with me, this man, if he were a would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, said with me, for she is a boy, he judged Jesus that. You see that word down there, reputation. Reputation. Here's what Jesus said. He said unto her, your sins are forgiven. He said a lot more. Read that chapter. It's a phenomenal chapter. Your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat but began to say with themselves, who is he that forgives sins?
And he said to this woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Get out of here in peace. You don't belong in this house. Go, lady, go. You're free." Here's the word of reputation. Let's put that other word up, Raj. The dirty. The dirty. It takes courage to reach out to the dirty. Did you know that? It takes courage. Because what will people think of me? What will people think of me if I reach out to somebody who's sinful and nasty? What about my reputation? I'm telling you, it takes courage. This business of loving people openly is risky business. It seems downright wrong. What about my reputation? You know what Jesus said? Jesus had courage. He didn't care what people thought. He cared more for lost people. That's why he came. Next one. Samaritan woman. Many of you know the story. Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." That was a place forbidden for the Jews to go through. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said, "Give me a drink." His disciples are going into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria?" Say that part with me. "For the Jews have no dealings with the..." You see that word under there? What's that word?
Prejudiced.
"Then said, then Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to give me drink, you'd ask of him, and he would have given you living water." Verse 11, "The woman said to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water?" And then finally, you know the story, many of you. He talked to her mother, and then she left her water pot. She ran to town. She says, "Hey, come meet a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Her life was changed because Jesus said, "I've got to go through Samaria. Got to do it, guys." Don't we have a problem sometimes with prejudice? There are people that are despised. I don't know about you, but I grew up. It was just inbred in me, in my raising, in my rearing, to just dislike the blacks. That's where I grew up, in that old deep South. And they grew up the same way, just like us. We lived on separate sides of town, in a separate school, separate everything. It was all set for this to happen. That's my story. And the Lord has helped me. Thank God, man, I tell you, I don't have that problem whatsoever now. And it's a gift of God's grace in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're here today and you're prejudiced against people, you're pitiful. It's what you are. And that's pathetic. And it's sin and it's wrong. You need to love people. But they're despised. I despise them. Get right with God then. And stop it. People are... Jesus died for folks. I'm telling you, he did not care what people thought about him. I'm going to love them anyway. That's huge. It's not easy. It takes courage. Courage to love people openly. I do it in the dark. I do it in secret. Come on. Have the courage to love people. Reach out a hand. Love them. The last one. Lazarus. Now Lazarus was his friend, right? Remember? Then after that he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." But his disciples said, "Master, the Jews have laid a sword to stone thee. They want to kill thee. And you want to go to Judea again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him." These things said he, and after that he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps." Now, that's one of the funniest verses in the Bible. "But I go that I may awake him out of sleep." The disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he do well." Okay? Now, we don't have the scripture, but you read it sometime. It goes on, and it basically says, I believe, you know, if we go, then let us go, or we're going to go and sleep too. You know? So, two ways to look at that. They didn't really understand that he meant he wasn't sleeping, he was dead. Or, they were saying, you know, if we go, we're going to be toast too. Okay? The fact of the matter is,
Jesus went to this area of Judea where he knew he would be killed if he goes back. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and they believed on Jesus. Here's the point I want to make. Look at it. See the word scared? Scared. Here's Lazarus, the dangerous. There are people in our world that need Jesus that it's dangerous to take the gospel to them. It's dangerous. Man, I love missionaries. They go into dangerous places and they share the gospel. Do you think they're scared? Sure they are. But they love people. They're compelled. And it takes courage to do that. Friend, there's people in this area. There have been people, literal people, that I have worked with that I have feared for my life. Over the years. I mean, it's probably my own crazy head doing me in. But I got scared. One couple I was working with at one time, I was so frightened. And I'm a big guy. And I don't own a gun. But I slept with a baseball bat under my bed because I feared for my life. There was a time in Englewood in my life where I was being stalked. My wife and I being stalked. And I shared with the police and they sort of helped look after me a little bit during that situation. Well, not to make me any big deal. What I'm saying is, this can be scary business. This isn't a social club we're running here at Fellowship. This is something we're trying to do to reach people for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
It'd be scary sometimes. You ever seen somebody a little scary? Say, hey, I've seen some of you folks. Some of you folks look scary. But guess what? We're going to love you. Amen? We're going to love you. Come on. Now the last final thing. I've done with the whole message. We're out of here. The thief on the cross. Thief on the cross. Scripture. Jesus was dying. He's on the cross. He said unto him the third time, why? What evil have you done? I found the cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. I don't know if we got the right scripture. Let's keep going. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him. Malefactors is another word for what? Thief. And one of the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. The two thieves on the side of the cross. One saying this to him. But the other thief answered, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, this one thief talking to the other thief, Jesus in the middle. We did this, we deserve it. We received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, say it with me, Lord, remember me when thou come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me
in paradise.
What's the point? Here it is. See that word? Can't. 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 And here's the people, the dying. The dying. Here's Jesus on the cross for crying out loud. I can imagine him, Father, why have you forsaken me? And I got somebody over here who's asking me to go to heaven. I can't do all this. Can't you imagine that happening? Maybe you can. I know in my life as I've dealt with people, sometimes situations, I just look at it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know. They're hurting. They're suffering. How can I enter into that and try to share with them and love on them? I just can't. I'm telling you, friend, today, I don't know if you've got an old crazy message or not. I've tried. Here's the point. It takes courage to love people over. It takes courage. That's our Lord. Amen? He had courage. And here's the last thing. Here it is. That's you and me there. Jesus loves you and me, friend. We're all crooked. Can you say that with me? So you said you were crooked at church? Come on. We're all crooked. And look at this. This is the big one. Say it'll help you. We're all losers. But watch it. But you know what Jesus said to us? Here's what Jesus said to you. He says it's to me. Here it is. Say it with me.
Come and die.
And here's what he wants us to take, friend. He doesn't want us to eat fish on the shore. Here's what he wants us to take and believe. Here it is. Take. Eat. This is my body which was broken for you. Can you say that with me? Take. Eat. This is my body which was broken for you. He says this. Take. Say it with me. Drink. This is my blood which was shed for you. That's your Lord today. He loves you to pieces. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, He loves you today. He loves you openly. Doesn't matter how churches treated you, how pastors treated you, how some people in church mistreated you. Listen, friend, Jesus loves you today. Amen? He loves you openly. He died for you. And here's the final thing. Is it John 3:16 or John 6:66 with you today? Which is it? Maybe I've offended some of you today with my talk. Hey, I ain't sorry. If it could shake your cage and rattle you just a little bit today, come on. Get you to love people more. And also, if you're sitting on the fence, you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, you're not getting there without His blood and without His broken body, without His sacrifice. It's either John 3:16 or it's turn and walk away from Him. Which is it going to be today? I tell you what, I like that John 3:16. Amen. Let's pray together. Would you stand with me? Thank you for listening today. You've been such a blessing to talk to. Courage to love other people. It's risky. It seems wrong at times. What about my reputation? I'm prejudiced. All these things. It's dangerous. And the ever faithful, I can't. You can. Friend. God wants to use you. How many today with heads bowed, eyes closed would say, Pastor Clark, I want to be used of God to love other people openly, and I just want to tell Him right now with my hand raised up in the air towards you. I want Him to, yeah, man, I like that. Praise God. Go ahead. Let's do that just a minute. Keep that hand up. Would you do that? Just praise Him this morning with that hand up. I want to love people openly. I struggle, but I want to do it, Lord. I want to reach out with folks. God bless you. God bless these that made this commitment before you today to love others openly. It's going to take courage, Lord. Give them that strength. Help them, God, I pray. Father, thank you for these that made that decision to ask you in their heart. And I just pray you bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.